Argument now in the case of Kim against Holden. Ms. Kwan.
Good morning. Angela Kwan. May I please support Angela Kwan appearing on behalf of Petitioner Yeongdong Kim. Mr. Kim respectfully requests this court to remand the case to Board of Immigration Appeals for two reasons. First reason is that the BIA ignored the substantial evidence presented by the petitioner, Mr. Kim, and erroneously concluded that his case did not fall.
Could you raise your voice, please?
Would you like me to repeat or just speak louder?
Continue, but raise your voice.
Mr. Kim's situation falls under the technical error, not his own fault.
Counsel, before we get into this no fault or technical reasons, I have a question why that matters. The statute says, and I'm quoting from it, that any alien, quote, who is in unlawful immigration status on the date of filing the application for adjustment of status, or has failed, other than through no fault of his own or for technical reasons, to maintain continuously a lawful status, close quote, is ineligible. But that says there are two categories of people who are ineligible. One is an alien who is in unlawful status on the date he files the application. And the second is an alien who is in lawful status but hasn't maintained it continuously for technical or no-fault reasons. Your client seems to be in the first of these categories. He was not in lawful status on the date he filed the application. And at least as if you take a simple reading of the statute, that makes the question whether there was fault or technical reasons irrelevant. So why should we care about that?
The petitioner, he did all he can to maintain his status, and the reason he...
I understand that, but what the statute says, at least what its plain language says, is that an alien who is in unlawful status on the date he files the application is ineligible. There's a second category. It's the category for aliens in lawful status on the date they file the application, but who didn't maintain lawful status continuously. The exception for no fault seems to be limited to the latter category, and your client is in the former category.
Well, at the time he filed the adjustment application, he had his motion to reinstate the non-immigrant status.
I understand he had a motion to reinstate pending, but he was not in lawful status on the date he filed. I'm just trying to deal with the language of the statute. Is there some reason why we shouldn't take the language of the statute seriously?
We are taking it seriously, and the way we read it is the reason that he fell out of status was not his fault.
Look. There are two categories. People who are in unlawful status, statute says they're just ineligible. People who are in lawful status but fail to maintain lawful status continuously. And the exception for no fault and technical reasons seems to be limited to the second category, and your client is in the first category. That's why I'm asking why we should pay any attention to the technical or no-fault language.
I understand, but when he filed the adjustment application, there was no final decision as to whether he was unlawful or lawful, and we argue that he was in lawful status when he filed the adjustment application.
The government seems to believe that only Kim is seeking review, and that his wife and children do not ask review of the board's final order. Is that true?
That could have been my own error when I was submitting the petition for review. When we appealed the case to the Board of Immigration, the whole family were included in the Board of Appeals review.
Okay, so the exclusion of Ko and the children, it's an oversight.
They are family, and Mr. Kim is the one who has approved immigrant visa petition. So if he was able to adjust, then his family members would be also able to adjust to permanent
residence. Did Mr. Kim or his wife ever seek an exercise of prosecutorial discretion before this appeal?
That is our legal question. The government says that we never asked for it, and our position is that the Board of Immigration Appeals had his case for 2 years, and the government never filed the opposing brief to our appeal. We never had a chance to actually ask them, and that the board's final decision.
But then don't we have to decide that the government never, decided not to exercise it?
In the Board of Appeals decision, they said that they would do the de novo review. They review the relevant facts, laws, regulations, and discretions. But they never mentioned that, we actually considered the prosecutor's discretion and nothing is in favor of, exercising it, so therefore we declined. They never mentioned it.
The discretion is not given to the board. It's given to the prosecutorial.
The government attorneys at any point can exercise that.
Did you ever ask them to?
We are essentially asking them to do so now, I guess.
You never asked them previously?
No, we did not. The memorandum says that they can exercise it at any point. It does not say that petitioners have to request it. It's different from the deferred action that's going on now, where the applicant can actually apply for prosecutorial discretion. But this was before deferred action was enacted, and this was primarily based on the government's own memo dated June 17, 2011.
You're in your rebuttal.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'd like to reserve the rest of my time.
Mm-hmm. Certainly, counsel. Mr. Hayes.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Timothy Hayes on behalf of the Attorney General.
Is there any avenue of relief or review under the circumstances here? You seem to agree in footnote 6 of your brief that a simple factual mistake was made by denying the motion to reinstate student status because the petitioner's wife had been out of status for more than 5 months because, in fact, she came within the 5-month deadline. And if that mistake had not been made and her student status had been renewed, Would there then have been any impediment to acquiring permanent resident status?
I'm not quite sure I understand the question, Your Honor. To the extent that there was a mischaracterization made by USCIS, that was in the context of the motion to reconsider. It wasn't in the context of the motion to reinstate. That was denied properly. The motion to reconsider construed the denial of the motion to reinstate as being on the point that Mr. Kim's wife was out of status for more than 5 months. And in order to get a reinstatement, you have to apply for it within 5 months of falling out of status. So the recharacterization, that they characterize a reason for the denial of the motion to reinstate incorrectly. But it doesn't affect anything because, as Mr. Kim's wife conceded, she stopped attending school in February of 2007. So under no circumstance would they be able to adjust based on Mr. Kim's employment-based visa because of that date. Now, to your second question, Your Honor, whether the court actually has jurisdiction to review USCIS's two decisions, the answer is no. What Mr. Kim should have done is gone to the district court under the Administrative Procedure Act because CIS order is not part of a final order of removal. To get to
replace all those alphabet soup with real words, because I'm not sure I followed what you just said.
I apologize, Your Honor.
We're generalists. You may be a specialist. Those may be second nature to you, but they're not to us.
I apologize, Your Honor. The statute gets confusing, so.
No, it's the alphabet soup that's confusing. Just use words.
Okay, Your Honor.
Try to restate what you just said, and I'll see if I can follow it.
Okay. United States Citizenship and Immigration Services issued two decisions in this case. One was a denial of a motion to reinstate student status, and that was filed by Mr. Kim's wife, subsequent to her finding out that the school had terminated her status. The second decision was based on a motion to reconsider the denial of that motion to reinstate student status, and that was filed by Mr. Kim's wife after the United States Citizenship and Immigration Services denied the first motion, the motion to reinstate student status. So we have two decisions that United States Citizenship and Immigration Services made. Both of those decisions are not within the context of removal proceedings. To the extent that Mr. Kim's wife wanted to seek judicial review of that, that would be under the Administrative Procedure Act in district court. That's been this court's case law since at least 1982. To switch to Judge Easterbrook's statutory issue, the 245K provides an exception to 245C2. Now, C2 does have both parts.
That this is another peculiarity, that the tendency of lawyers to cite the original statutory section rather than the place in the United States Code. If I want to find some statute, I can't look to find 245. I assume you're referring to 8 U.S.C. 1255 something?
Yes, Your Honor.
If you could use the kinds of things that generalist judges have access to and avoid the things that are specialist talk, It will help us a lot.
I apologize, Your Honor. I worked in the immigration court, so you get used to the
legal. Yes, I know, but we don't.
I apologize. Okay. 8 U.S.C., you would start at 8 U.S.C. 1255A, which gives you three bases to adjust your status. You have to be admitted or paroled, you have to be admissible, and an immigrant visa has to be available. Now, 8 U.S.C. 1255C provides bars to being able to adjust under 8 U.S.C. 1255A. There are two potential bars implicated in this case. One is failing to maintain lawful status since entry, and as Judge Easterbrook said, the other one is failing to have lawful status at the time you file that adjustment of status application. Congress passed, I believe in the mid-1990s, an exception to 8 U.S.C. 1255C2, 8 U.S.C. 1255K. That will exempt, I believe it's C2 and C3, if certain conditions are met. And one of those conditions is that the alien failed to maintain continuous lawful status for more than 180 days since entry. And that is why the government's brief focused on that, because that does provide an exception to both parts of 8 U.S.C. 1255C2.
You know, given the agency's memo regarding prosecutorial discretion and limited resources, I have to tell you, I'm curious why the agency is pursuing this case so forcefully. I mean, doesn't this seem exactly the sort of situation that does not merit the use of limited government resources? Is prosecutorial discretion still available at this stage of the proceedings? Could Kim ask for it now?
Yes, Your Honor. It's available at any stage. Even if the petition for review was ultimately denied, they can still ask for it.
And so what would they do? I mean, this is the kind of little law-abiding family that we want in this country.
Well, you would approach a DHS local office directly and ask for them to review the file. And
you would approach who directly?
The DHS local office. In this case, it would be the Chicago office.
In the Department of Homeland.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. Sorry, Your Honor. Department of Homeland Security. You get used to acronyms in government and it becomes crazy.
So Ms. Kwan could go home today. I mean, could go back to the office and request this.
Right. Now, it would probably take a few weeks, 4 to 6 weeks, for them to reach a decision, but they can request it. There are plenty of cases where the petition for review was ultimately denied, but prosecutorial discretion has been exercised, and they're not actually removing these people from the country. They're usually either sitting in limbo status or they're given employment pending review of whether they actually will remove them in the future.
You may be the most reasonable Department of Justice lawyer I've seen in these cases of late.
I hope that's a compliment, Your Honor.
Well,
thank you.
It certainly is.
to sort of switch gears back to the actual board decision at issue here, the 8 U.S.C. 1255K language has been limited to four scenarios by regulation, two which might be implicated here. One is inaction of an organization. to acknowledge that it erred, and the other is inaction of the DHS. None of those two are applicable. DHS actually denied the motion to reinstate status in June of 2006, and that means that that's an unfavorable action by DHS, and that's enough to kick it out of the regulatory language. The organization, I understand that Mr. Kim's wife has issues with the underlying school and the manner in which they disagree that the school should not have terminated status, but again, in order to fit within the regulation, that inaction has to be acknowledged by the school through the designated school official, and the school has repeatedly and insistently stated has done nothing wrong. So that exception doesn't apply. As a result, Mr. Kim has been out of status for more than 180 days at the time he filed his adjustment application, and he's not eligible. And unless Your Honors have any further questions, thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Counsel. Ms. Kwan, anything further?
I'd like to address the fact that the government attorney just addressed that school never acknowledged it, and that's the crux of Mr. Kim's family's turmoil. The DSO mistakenly assumed that she was out of, she didn't come to classes when she did, and we submitted affidavits after affidavits from her classmates show that she was, in fact, present in the classroom. And the reason she couldn't attend the school anymore was
she
because... Well, she did pay, but she couldn't attend the school anymore because she could not register. Her CEVS record was already terminated by the DSO, who refused to acknowledge her mistake. And I'm sorry. So as such, you know, we really have a family who has an immigrant visa petition approved, and the visa is immediately available. And Mr. Kim has a college degree. He has extensive skills and knowledge in cable installation. He has no criminal issues. None of his family members do. He has all the makings of a productive member of our society, and yet the government simply is saying, you know, we're not going to do the, we're not going to follow our internal memo because you never asked. The memo was addressed to the government attorneys, not
well,
to
why
the
don't
private
you,
attorneys.
Can you ask them this afternoon?
I would like to ask them right now, and it seems like he's willing to take on the cause, but...
But they're different departments, right?
Yes.
Mr. Hayes represents the Attorney General. It's part of the Department of
Actually,
Justice.
Actually, Attorney General's...
The prosecutor, in this case, is part of the Department of Homeland Security. You just have to ask a completely different cabinet department for relief.
Actually, the AG can do this. They can exercise prosecutorial discretion at any point as well.
The agency, however, is a different cabinet department. You need to ask the right people.
we will do whatever it takes, but well, we're asking this court to remand the case back to the Board of Immigration Appeals so that they could go through the proper facts and issue a prosecutor discretion. Thank you for your time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. The case is taken under advisement.